Live and Lansing, Jack Ebling is on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Scott Eckersley, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome in our next guest, the editor of the MERS newsletter and columnist City Pulse, Kyle Malin. Hello, Kyle.
Hey, Jack. How you doing?
Just fine. Image is so important, and we are battling in the state of Michigan to turn that around despite some incredible odds. And every time we get some good news, like Lansing being ranked one of the top 10 cities for young adults in this country, a decision that still has some people talking, we get some news about other cities in the state that just sets us back on our ear. And we've certainly been dealing with all of these reports about the Flint stabbings. Another one now, apparently, could be linked from early Saturday morning. 21 victims now of this serial stabber. What does that do to the image of the state of Michigan and Flint in terms of trying to attract business?
That certainly doesn't help, does it?
No.
When Dwayne Walling took over there as the mayor of Flint, that was one of his top priorities, was to address that public safety, that very same public safety issue. Because for a long time that has been the knock on Flint, hasn't it? That it's just not a safe place to go. And that, you know, that goes back, not even that many years. You don't have to go far back to even remember the Flintstones and, Mateen Cleaves.
Right.
And you heard those stories back then about growing up in Flint and how it wasn't really that great of a place. And now it seems like we've got a serial killer up there in Flint targeting a certain profile of individual there, and
right.
it's just scary, and really does set, I think, the state back and makes it a lot harder to get something positive going up there. They've been trying so hard for so long.
Kyle, we had Harold Kopus on this show the other day, and he is a former FBI agent, and he is the head of Kopus Security Consultants, been doing a lot of work on this case. And he was talking about the fact that the perpetrator is just learning how to kill, is just honing his craft, and has acquired the taste of flesh, much like a lion or tiger would.
Oof. Yeah, that's kind of scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm sure that this, it's kind of interesting. We even have the photo of this person, or not the photo, but the drawing, the sketch of this individual who's being suspected here in our office. It's just such a spooky and scary thing, and it kind of reminds us a little bit back when we had Matthew Macon roaming the streets here in our own neighborhood. There's somebody who has a certain type of person in their mind that they're going after, and I think it just makes us that much more aware of the people around us and who we're looking at. And, ultimately, I think these people get caught, don't they? I mean, I think they just keep going until they do get caught. You know what's also kind of strange about this guy, too, is that it's stabbings.
Yes.
Which is so personal, as opposed to taking a gun to him. Maybe it's the silent thing, but it's just so savage.
As Harold Kopus told us, this is an indication of an act of power and control, and guns are almost impersonal now in today's serial killer world. And the thing that was amazing to me is to hear people say that this is not necessarily racially linked. Looking at this sketch, you have a muscular white individual, maybe 25 to 30 years old, and he keeps attacking African Americans. I don't know how it could not be.
Couldn't be either. Here's an interesting little sidebar. I don't know if you thought about this, but since we'll get on to my a little bit more of my expertise here in political stuff, the interesting thing here is that the lead spokesperson in all of this with the national and state press has been David Layton, the Genesee County prosecutor,
yes,
who is also the Democrats' nominee for, or will be soon, nominee for Attorney General.
Yes.
He'll be running for Attorney General general against Bill Schuette here in the next next month here after he gets nominated. And, you know, it's interesting because this is, David Layton didn't thrust himself in the spotlight. It's not like he's taking advantage necessarily of a situation to get his name out in the press. Apparently there was some discussions behind the scene where the state police and the local authorities, where they discussed among themselves, okay, who is going to be the person who's going to be the lead spokesman for our camp on tracking this individual down? And the consensus was that David Layton would be that person. He is not going out there and showboating his name and trying to flex some type of might for political purposes. He's actually being appointed because that's his job. And I think that, depending on how this shakes down, I think this could be a benefit for him if, in the end, they're able to track this guy down and successfully, well, we won't know if they'll successfully prosecute him, but get him behind bars at the very least.
Not the only law enforcement story that has a very interesting twist today. Detroit Mayor Dave Bing and Deputy Mayor Saul Green say they're standing behind Interim Police Chief Ralph Godbey despite revelations of sexual text messages sent between him and the former chief's girlfriend. And then, staying in the city of Detroit, I see there is a new reality show. And, of course, yeah, it is set in a pawn shop.
Yeah, you know, Detroit just can't shake their image, can they? I mean,
no.
Talking about Flint having image problems.
Yeah.
If Flint's image problems is violence, then Detroit's is just corruption and just inept political leadership. And that's unfortunate because Dave Bing has actually been good in trying to change that around.
Yes.
He's been getting high marks from anyone I've talked to on his leadership over there. And it's just unfortunate that we have a setback like that.
Kyle Malin, the editor of the MERS newsletter and columnist for City Pulse, our guest on Ebling and You. And Kyle, we've talked a lot about the gubernatorial race, and we will between now and the election, but there are some other races we've talked about, congressional seats, and even in terms of the state legislature. We're going to have Susan McGillicuddy,
mm-hmm,
Meridian Township Supervisor, and Mark Meadows, the incumbent in the 69th District. Are there some races that you look at around the state that are particularly fascinating to you this fall?
Well, you know, yes, around the state, yeah, there are. For our listening audience, though, I'm glad you mentioned that 69th District race with McGillicuddy and Meadows, because that one is somewhat interesting, because Sue McGillicuddy could be the most liberal Republican I think I've ever seen. And, you know, maybe next to, like, a Bill Milliken, it's strange. When you have her on the show, I'll be interested to hear her Republican credentials. But, you know, that is such a Democratic seat that it's hard to imagine anybody who is a Republican winning that. That said, Sue McGillicuddy could probably be the only one I can think of in Meridian Township who could pull it off. Someone who's been in public office and been successful in public office, been popular, and is a Republican. She's very big in the environment. If anybody could do it, it's her. The base numbers are just so stacked against her in this case. It almost makes you wonder if maybe she's setting herself up for, mm-hmm, 2012, when Mark Meadows isn't in office anymore, so that when it's an open seat, you know, maybe things go a little bit her way. On the other hand, you know, this is a different kind of year, and, you know, who knows? I guess anything could happen. That 67th district there in Ingham County is one we should probably pay attention to a little bit. You know, the Republicans always have it out for the Byrams and think this is going to be their year to knock them off. They got a real good candidate this year in Jeff Osterley, who's a farmer and is also involved in the Farm Bureau there in Ingham County. And that should be an interesting matchup. You know, they can never get within 10 percentage points of a Byram. And with an anti-incumbency attitude, you know, maybe it's possible. And then there's also a couple races too that could be interesting. The one there in Eaton County, the 71st, with Deb Shaughnessy,
mm-hmm,
and facing Teresa Abbott. That one could be interesting too. You know, that was a little bit of a nasty primary there on the Republican side, and it'll be interesting if they all coalesce around Deb Shaughnessy, or you know, if they'll give a Teresa Abbott, who's got some good credentials, a look there. She's involved in the school district. She's got a good profile. She comes across well. She's a hard worker. And I know the Democratic caucus is taking a look at her, so that one should be good. And, you know, the 85th district there in Shiawassee County,
mm-hmm,
That one, too, is one to just kind of keep an eye on. You know, the Republican up there, Ben Glidden, did a fantastic job. He's an auctioneer. He's also a real estate agent. He took a very, what was supposed to be a pretty competitive primary and really made it a slam dunk for him. He won that primary last week going away. And he's going to be facing a Democrat named Pamela Drake. And, you know, unlike Abbott there in Eaton County, she did not have a primary. So there wasn't the incentive to get out there and campaign as much as Teresa did. So she's got her work cut out for her there. The district is 50-50. But Ben Gordon's got a huge head start in both money and being out there campaigning and having his name out there. So those are the ones I'm looking at.
The way the lines are drawn, as you say, makes a tremendous difference. And I was thinking the other night, Monday night, that maybe the best chance Susan McGillicuddy had was to single-handedly disarm this gunman and tase him herself.
Yeah.
Off of Wabeningu Road here in Meridian Township. She's a supervisor. You know, it's within her jurisdiction, I guess.
Well, it would certainly help. You know, the other thing would be, too, is if Mark Meadows was a failure as a state representative.
Right.
But he's not.
Right.
He's actually been a very effective legislator, I think. And then you look at his role in the power structure of that caucus, and it's pretty significant. So, you know, as far as actually getting bills passed and holding hearings and talking about critical issues here, I think Mark Meadows has done about as good of a job in that caucus as anybody you're going to find.
Yeah, certainly has represented constituents very well. I think a lot of them have very high regard for him.
Yeah.
We will talk more with Kyle Malin next week about congressional seats and statewide races and follow things right up to the election in November. Kyle, thanks so much for joining us, as always.
Hey, the time goes by too fast, Jack.
All right, we will be right back, and we are going to talk with Mindy Bilodeau, and she's going to tell us about a name change. So it used to be the principal shopping district, no more, and we'll talk about that and much, much more. In just a moment, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS.